good. That is good. All right, I got some papers I need handed out. Let if you grab, maybe Isaiah, some of y'all help back here. I got a new one that's laying in the collection plate, and then the old one, Ephesians chapter 2. If you got your paper with you, it should say Ephesians chapter 2 on the top of it. And then they're going to give you another, and it's a two-sided paper, okay? And we won't get that far, I'm sure, but I want you to have that and look over, be looking over it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians there's so much in Ephesians and Colossians, there is no way that I could teach it all to you. There's no way, because when I study, I get it again. If I go back and study chapter 1, I'm going to have new stuff. And if I go back and study it next week, I'm going to have new stuff. So we'll never be able to exhaust the scripture. But I'm going to do my best to milk it for everything we can get out of it, all right? And we'll start in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, everybody got a paper? Everybody all right? Can we go ahead and pray and get started? Talk to me. All right, let's pray together. Father, I come tonight, and you are great and wonderful, and you rescued me out in the sea of sin. Going down and perishing, and yet you rescued me. And I love you, and I thank you, and it's marvelous what you've done. A new life is mine. A new life is mine. And it's all because of you. Lord, I thank you that you've put me in Christ. You put Christ in me, but you put me in Christ. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, now help me, I pray. Give me power, cleanse my old filthy mind and heart. I'm a wretch, I know that. Lord, please use me tonight. May you get all the glory in Jesus' name and amen. Ephesians chapter 2, your paper should say, top of it. Ephesians 2, it'll be a single paper. We got that, everybody ready? All right. Now we're going to look at this, as it says there even on the paper, we're going to look at this maybe a little different than what we've looked at it in the past, and we're not trying to be different, we're just trying to get all the meat out of the scripture. And there's so much in it, it's so rich, the scripture is so rich. And we're just going to read the chapter tonight, all right? We're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, and then we're going to go back. Now, I'm not going to rush none of it, all right? And if we get hung up on a word, we'll just teach for a week on a word, or 2 weeks, or a month on a word. But we're going to get all we can get out of it, and glory be to God, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, start at verse 1. And you, that's the way to start it, ain't it? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And that's chapter 2, read the best I can read it to you. So we love chapter 2. Now, when we look at it, remember now, Paul's writing a letter to believers. Now, we know that, and that's us. He's writing to us. And as he writes to us, verse 1 starts out, "And you." All right, "and you." Now, chapter 1 is talking about Christ. We know that. And it talks about all about him and how that we're accepted in the Beloved. There in verse 6 in chapter 1. "And who we have redemption through his blood." Verse 7. "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And it goes right on down. Talking about the greatness of Christ all the way through. We've obtained an inheritance because of Christ. That we would should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And that "in Christ" is so important, for that's our position in Christ. But now it says, "and you." Now we see all the glory going to Christ, and he seated us in heavenly places, and all that, the blessings and all these things. We are blessed already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in chapter 1, but now it's "and you." So we see the glory of God and of Christ, the Holy Spirit all together, and now "and you." Think about that. Verse 19 in chapter 1, it says, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power?" Verse 20, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead." All of that's wonderful and praises to the Lord. But chapter 2 starts out, "now and you." Now it's a whole different ballgame now. "And you." Because now we're going to see what he's done, but we're going to have to see what we are. All right, who we are, and exactly all of that, all right? "And you." Now, it's a personal letter, not just a general letter now, because it says "and you." It ain't just written to a church at Ephesus. It ain't just written to all the believers. Now it says "and you." All right, so it's a personal thing written to me and you. Is everybody all right with that? Now, when we look at this whole chapter, I'm sure every chapter I try to look and try to find a theme verse. Well, I don't know that we could do any better than down in verse 8 and 9. All right, for the main verse or the theme verse of the chapter, let's read it there together again. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." That's most wonderful there. "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So if there's anything in this chapter that would be the theme, it's going to be that. It's God's grace, all right, through Jesus Christ, and us simply believing by faith. All right, just simply believing. Now, salvation has never been any other way. It's always been by grace through faith. It wasn't another way in the Old Testament.
That's right.
It's always been by grace through faith. No one has ever been saved by the law. Now let me say that again. No one has ever been saved by the law. For the law is a schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But there is no mercy. There is no grace. There is no salvation in the law. Only death. That's all that's in the law. So there's never, now never, ever been anyone ever saved by the law. So if you happen to be keeping the law thinking it's going to save you, you're a lost ball in high weeds.
Amen.
All right? Because there's no salvation in the law. All right? So therefore, there's no salvation in works. Because the law tells us what we ain't got no business doing. And people want to say, well, I don't do that, and that's my salvation. Well, that's not true. It just means that you just don't do that.
Right.
That's all it means. It don't make you any more holy. Don't make you any more closer to God. It just means you don't do them things. Do we understand that? That's all it means. But that is our gauge to show us that we're sinners. Alright? So look over in Genesis chapter 3. And we'll just go back to the beginning. And we could give you more verses. We just give you one, explain this to you here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Now we know that Adam and Eve sinned. Everybody understand that? You know, Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore is but one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, so death is passed upon all men for the law of sin. Alright, so we understand Adam sinned. We're all sinners like Adam. Alright. But Adam sinned, Eve sinned. The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Alright. Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he took of the fruit. Alright. He disobeyed God willingly. Eve was deceived. Alright. That's what the scripture tells us. Alright. But look here in, after they sinned, something had to be done. Alright. Cause they was going to die. Cause that's what the Lord told them. Said, when you eat of that, you will surely die. Well, look at it. Everybody still alright with me? Alright. Look in verse 21. So unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Alright. He said, well, where's grace at in that? Well, grace and faith is all wrapped up in that. Grace, they was given something that they didn't deserve because they disobeyed God. They was given something that they didn't provide for themselves. It was given by God. Alright. And he clothed them. They put it on. They had to put it on by faith. That's common sense. This is what's going to clothe you. And they took it and they obeyed and put it on by faith. All right. So we got that. Now you can go ahead and go through all through the scripture and you're going to find that everything was still by faith. God provided it by his grace and it was believed. And that's faith. We talk about Abraham. The book of Romans tells us that Abraham believed and was counted for him righteousness. Because he believed, not because he sacrificed his son and obeyed, but because he believed the Lord. He believed, all right? So, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. So it's always been by grace through faith. Is everybody all right with that? Now we can give you a bunch more, but there's no need. And everybody, we already know that. Is everybody okay with that? All right, we understand. Now, the purpose of Ephesians chapter 2 is to reveal God's changing power. Because there's a vast change in us when we read chapter 2. When we start showing what God has done for us and to us and in us, then there's a vast change in us. All right, then that's why this is showing it. It shows how saved people come from spiritual death in sin by his grace through faith in Christ, and he makes us alive. All right, we're going from being dead in trespasses and sin to be made alive. That's what chapter 2 shows us, all right? Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Now, I got verse 1 wrote down there. I'm wondering if I ought not have verse 21 right there. It should be verse 21. We can go ahead and read verse 1. It's a good verse. But it should be 2 Corinthians 5:21. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So this is the change. This is a new life that he gives us. It's all in Christ. See, we didn't have that. We didn't have that righteousness. We had to have Christ's righteousness. And that's the same way now. That's why it's by grace through faith. We've got to believe on what God has provided because we don't have no righteousness of our own.
Right.
Everybody knows that. We don't have that. Now, the only righteousness I have now is not mine. It's what Christ has imputed unto me or given me. That's the only righteousness I have now. For all of my good deeds, all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of them, if they're mine, all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, that's all of them. Everybody understand that? All of my righteousness are as filthy rags. So I have to have Christ's righteousness. So chapter 2 shows me what took place and how it took place that I might have the righteousness of Christ in me. Okay? Now, it shows Christ's work in bringing Jews and Gentiles into one body. Because the wall of partition was tore down and there was no difference in between the Jew and the Greek. There was no difference. Now, there still wasn't no difference in salvation because it was by grace through faith. But salvation was not offered to the Gentile. Even though Christ came to be the light of the Gentiles, there was a wedge there. So when Christ died and was buried, rose again, there was a partition that was tore away. That now there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female, that everybody comes in the same way.
Yes.
Right now, the Jews got to come in the same way that we do.
Right. Yes.
Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved.
Right.
Now, in the Old Testament, everyone looked to Christ coming.
Yes.
And by faith were saved in Christ. All the furniture in the tabernacle was all a type or a picture of Christ. The ark, a type and picture of Christ. Isaac being slain on the altar was a type and picture of Christ. Moses and the lamb, the blood on the doorpost was a type and a picture of Christ. All through was looking forward to Christ. Then Christ came, died, buried, rose again, and now faith is still faith in Christ. By grace, faith in Christ. Everybody understands that. We still okay? Now, we're giving you an overview of chapter 2 here, and then when we get on the next page is when we go word by word. Everybody still with me? All right, so let's look at 1 Corinthians again, here chapter 12. When we talk about there being no difference in the Jew and the Gentile, that we're coming into one body, as it'll teach us here in chapter 2. Let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Start at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be," what? "Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." All right, so it's one body. There's only one body that is a bride of Christ, if you would, or the church, and that is anybody and everybody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, believing in His grace, and saves everybody the same way, the same amount of time. They get the same amount of salvation. They get the same amount of forgiveness. They get the same amount of mercy. They get the same amount of everything. Salvation is an equal thing, an equal gift, if you would. Is everybody all right with that? Galatians chapter 3. Is everybody following me okay? Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 26. It says, "For ye are all the children of God by what?"
Faith.
"By faith in who?"
Christ
Jesus. "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And we're all the same. Does everybody understand that? Talk to me. Everybody understands that. Now, again, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Now, we become a new and a peaceful community of people in Christ. And it's a peaceful community of people, or the church, or the body of Christ. Is everybody still with me? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is talking about the mystery. Verse 32 and 33. The start of verse 30, 30 through 33 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So we're just, what we're talking about is becoming one body in Christ, whether you be Jew or Gentile. That's what chapter 2 tells us. Is everybody all right with that? Everybody's understanding me. Talk to me. All right. Now, not only are we becoming one, as far as we're not separated by Jew and Gentile. We're not separated by bond or free or male or female. That we're all becoming one. Now we become a temple that is Christ in us, as we taught in Colossians. It's Christ in us, hope of glory. That we are the temple. We don't go to the temple and a kind of glory be in the Holy of Holies, but it's Christ in us. And we are the temple. We even looked there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when it said we could have read verse 1 and it was a good verse. It said, "For we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That's verse 1 of chapter 5. But Lord lives inside of me. That's why I can worship and I don't have to have you to worship. That's why I can praise and don't have to have you to praise. And I don't have to have you to offer up prayer for me. I'm in the Holy of Holies. He's in me. The God is in me. So I have the altar of incense in my heart. I've got Christ in me. I've got the light of Christ in me. I've got the whole thing inside of me tonight.
Amen.
Everybody understands that? You still with me? All right, I don't want to, I'm just giving you an overview. We understand we're just getting an overview, right? All right, now, Christ is ahead of all this. We become a spiritual house or a temple where God dwells by His Spirit and where He is the head. And we see all of that. All right, verse 18 in chapter 2 tells, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Verse 19 talks about, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets," which we'll get deep in that, but that shows you the church, the body didn't start till after the resurrection of Christ. It couldn't. Okay, it couldn't. People say, "Well, it started at Pentecost." Well, it started after the resurrection. I know that because it was built on the foundation of the apostles, and there weren't none until after the resurrection. And Christ wasn't the chief cornerstone until after the resurrection. Okay? So we know that. Is everybody still okay with me? Talk to me if you're still with me. All right, now the last verse in Ephesians chapter 2, "In whom ye also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." I don't know that we'll ever, well, I shouldn't say we'll never, I don't think we've yet understood that it's Christ in me. That I don't take Him out and lay Him aside. That when I get saved, He moves in, period. And He don't move out. And I don't lay Him aside and go sin. I don't lay Him aside and go do what I want to do. But wherever I go, whatever I do, He's there. And if I walk through the dirt, I'm walking through the dirt with Him. Everybody understand that? That it ain't hid. He's there. It's like me doing it just, and Him, He is. He's not just walking with me. He's inside of me. And I don't know that we grasp that. Are we okay? Think about that. I don't know that we grasp that He never leaves us. when he comes in. Never.
Right. That's good.
Think about that. Never. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So anything we do, anything we say, anything we see, he's there. And we act the rest of our life and live the rest of our life in his presence, in his holy presence, 100% of the time, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And I don't know that we grasp that. You know? I think that's why we sin the way we do. Because we think we're getting by, you know, and we're not. Okay? Now, so we see that last verse talked about in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God, that is, come back true in Colossians, Christ in us, hope of glory. Is everybody still with me now? Now, and that's Colossians 1:27. You want to read it? Let's go back and read it instead of just take my word for it. Let's read it. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is hope of glory. Ain't that a wonderful verse? Now, listen to me now. The indwelling Holy Spirit is the evidence that Christ lives in you. All right? Your actions don't prove that he's in you. The fact that you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and that indwelling Holy Spirit comes in, that is the evidence that he lives inside of you. Because sometimes we don't act like he lives inside of us. Everybody understand that? Sometimes you got to look close to see if we're really a Christian. And if they looked in our mind, I don't know that we'd ever be accused of it. You know what I mean? So that's why it's by faith, and the fact of it being by faith, and the assurance that Christ does his work, that's why it can't be by my work, or we'd all be lost if it was our work. So let me tell you this. If you think you can be saved by your works, you'll never be saved. And if you think you can be kept by your works, you'll never keep your salvation, that everybody would lose it.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. And that's just that simple. All right. So the indwelling Holy Spirit is the evidence that Christ lives in us, and it makes you a part of his spiritual body. Is everybody with me there? The church, with him as the supreme head. So let's look over in Romans chapter 8. Is this plain enough for everybody? Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 9. Let's just start at verse 8. Nancy always thinks you go, I tell you, she has said, we go back. I don't know where to start and where to stop. Romans chapter 8. I mean, she's not being critical. We just laugh and tease. So then, verse 8, Romans 8:8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now let's stop her just for a moment. All right? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, you know why? Because this flesh is sinful. And this flesh ain't never going to please God. Never. Because it's flesh. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So if Christ don't dwell in you, you ain't saved. Everybody with me there? Now it says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But it's not your righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness, because it's Christ that liveth in you.
Yes.
Are we still okay? But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Hallelujah, right there. All right. So I know, and we'll get on that verse later on because of being raised up together. We'll have to go back and read that verse again. All right. When we get down to verse 7 in Ephesians 2. Okay. Everybody still with me? Look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now we're talking about Christ living in us, and he's part of his spiritual body, the church, and he's the supreme head. Everybody with me? Verse 18, Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body. Now, I want you to notice something. It don't say he is the head of a body. He is head of the body because there ain't but one. There's not but one body of Christ. How do you get in the body of Christ? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. It's not a denominational thing. It's not a denominational thing.
Amen.
It's not the Baptist way, the Methodist way, or the Presbyterian way, or the Lutheran way, or the Catholic way, or the Episcopalian way. Huh? It's the Jesus way. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, if it was a body, there's going to be other people have the preeminence. But it's the body, and it's only him that's going to have preeminence. Is everybody okay with that? Everybody understand that? Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but if you want to be right, you got to. Because that's what the scripture says. I mean, that's not me, that's the scripture. Okay, everybody understand? So we got to believe what the Bible said. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 2. Is everybody getting this? Are we okay? All right, now this is just an overview, okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Now, what we're going to see through this chapter, verse 1, says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Well, we're going to see the truth about what we were. Everybody understand that? That's what we're going to see. We'll see the truth. All right. Now we're going to get in that real good here later on here, but that right now. And then verses 2-5, let's read it again. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved." So we're going to see the truth about what we were. Then we're going to see the truth about who was our biggest influencer. There in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. All right. Then we're going to see the operation of salvation in our life all the way down into verse 9. All right, verse 6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Well, we're going to separate them words when we get there in verse 6 after a while. "That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." See, we're going to see the operation of salvation in our life.
Yes.
All right. Verse 10. Everybody wonders, so I need to know the purpose in my life. Well, verse 10 is your purpose. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." All right. He saves you to do right.
Amen.
He saves you to do good things and do it right. He don't say, "Do it right and I'll save you." He says, "I'm saving you, now do it right." All right. That's the will of God for your life, is to do what he says. Everybody understand that? To be 100% in the will of God, be obedient.
Right.
Is that all right? Ain't that simple? Huh? says, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. All right. He didn't predestinate us like that. But he set a path that this is the way I want you to live. And all my body's going to live this way. That's going to bring me glory. Can I tell you that everybody here has got the exact same will of God for their life? Now, I may have different works, but as far as the will of God, the purpose is to bring him glory. To be obedient, bring him glory. Equally. Is that okay with everybody? Think about that. So that's what we're going to see in this chapter. The purpose of our life in Christ. Now, verses 11 through 13, our life in the past, again, we get to see. Now, Paul's always bringing this up that we can see how saved we are and how lost we were. See, everybody look at me tonight. I think that's some of the reason we don't praise and we don't worship. Is because we don't have a handle on really how bad we were and how saved we are.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah. All right. When we really, and I hope we can here before chapter 2 is done, when we really see how lost we were, and then when we really get a handle on how saved we are, we are not going to be able to be quiet.
Amen.
Think about that. Because it's amazing. Huh? It's amazing just what he does. Are we still okay? So let's look at 11 through 13. That's our life in the past. Wherefore remember that ye be in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ. I'm without Christ. I'm an alien, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. See, the Gentiles, they didn't have no promises. They had no heavenly promise. They had no earthly promises. They had nothing. They were dogs. They wasn't even offered the gospel.
That's right.
Did not the Syrophoenician woman say, come and heal my daughter? And he said, well, why would I throw bread to the dog? And she said, well, do not the dogs eat the crumbs that fall off the table? Can we not even have a little bit of crumbs? He said, well, great faith have I not seen. And Israel, yes, I'll take care of her. And but they wasn't even offered nothing. Even though Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Even though Simeon said that about Christ, that he will light the way of the Gentiles.
Yeah. Right.
That's all. That was all true why he come, but that ain't how they done it. They didn't offer it to nobody. They wanted you to become a Jew to have a promise. Huh? And is that not like, what was it, how they done it? It'd be like the dead donkey, the dead mule, the dead donkey outside the tabernacle. That's at our best. Go back and read. I'd have to get it to you. We had nothing. And that's what it says here. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope.
Right. No hope.
Think about that. And without God in the world.
Right.
But now.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
But now.
In Christ.
Think about that. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that most wonderful? See, and we'll see, we're going to see that more, okay? Now, we're going to see the power of God, the power of Christ that works in us. Drop down to verse 14. I know we've read this, we're going to read it again. We're going to keep reading it over and over and over anyway. Look at verse 14. Now, this is the power of Christ that works in me. For he is our peace. Everybody looking for peace. There ain't none other than Christ. For he is our peace. Right? For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall. Pretty. Now, the reason that verse 14 is in there like that, who hath made both one, we're talking about Jew and Gentile because it said there in verses 11 through 13, all right, that we was a Gentile having no hope and wasn't like the commonwealth of Israel. And he said, now, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments. Because that's what separated the children of Israel and the Gentiles, was a holy law given by God. All right? And it separated that God made Israel a certain kind of people. He wanted the people to see Israel as an example. Now all that's done away with, they're the same because they're in Christ. And Christ is our example. And we ought to follow in his steps. Are we still okay? All right. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. How? By the cross. Having slain enmity thereby. But we hold your finger right there. We've got to run over to Colossians. We've got to run over to Colossians. All right. And let's look at verse 13. We'll start at verse 13. Chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 13. Are we there? And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hey, are you listening to me? Because of the cross, he nailed it all to the cross back in Ephesians chapter 2. All right? We're still okay. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. The preaching come to the Jew and the Gentile alike. To those that were far off and those that were nigh. There's no difference. It's the same gospel. All right? Verse 18. For through him, we both, Gentile and Jew together, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Does everybody understand that? That's the power of Christ and his work in us. All right? Now, our position in Christ again. Alright. Our position in Christ. Therefore, verse 19, you are no more strangers and foreigners. No more. But fellow citizens with the saints. Alright. And of the household of God. What is it, Teddy? You like to sing? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel life's on. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. Now verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. All right? So that's that page. That's the best I can give you as an overview, all right, on what Ephesians chapter 2 is. Now look at your new paper just for a moment. Well, this is where I wanted to end up with, if I could. Let's go back to the very first verse, Ephesians chapter 2. And you. Are we okay with that? And you. Now when we start here in Ephesians 2:1, it says we, all of us, were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Yes. Now we must see and know just how lost we were to appreciate how saved we are. Yeah. All right? Now what were we? We were dead, we were deceived, we were disobedient, we were defiled, and we were doomed. That's what we were. Now that ain't what I am. Now, everybody look at me. I know that I sin and you sin. I know that. We sin every day. Some days more than others. But I am not classified a sinner no more. That's not my classification. My position is in Christ and I'm a saint. I'm part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, Paul said he was a wretch. Yeah. I am a wretch. But I'm not classified. Now, I know Paul said of chief of sinners, of who I am, chief of sinners, you know, of who I am. All right. He was showing that he still sinned. But the classification is no longer sinner. Classification is part of the body of Christ. I'm a saint. Everybody understand? That's how saved you are. That's not deserving. Think about it. That's not deserving. But because we're in Christ, we're a saint now. Are you listening to me? That's how saved you are.
Amen.
That you're no longer the sinner.
That's right.
You're a saint.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting it?
Amen.
That's your position in Christ.
Right.
To be a sinner, you can't be in Christ.
Right.
To be classified as a sinner, you can't do that.
Right.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He changes that.
Yeah.
He changes that position. You're no longer the alien and you're no longer the enemy. But you're part of the body in Christ. And you're a saint now. You're part of the family.
Yes.
See, I don't know that we all get how saved we are. All right? Now, I'm not saying the things we do wrong is right, and there's no justification for none of that, because we know better, and we ought to be living better, and we ought to be living closer, but my classification ain't sinner no more. My classification is a child of God. My classification is an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My classification is a saint of God.
Amen.
Part of the family of God, a household of faith. That's my classification now. All right? I can't wait till next Wednesday. And we'll get in this thing good. Is that all right, everybody?